6. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all you guys coming out and braving the weather. It is difficult out there. Amen. Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're still talking about serious conversions and being born again and what's it all mean? What's it look like? What's it look like? We've looked at Lydia and her great conversion experience. We looked at Paul and his wonderful conversion experience. We've looked at we didn't look at the woman with the issue of blood. We looked at Ruth and her conversion experience. And one thing you will see in all these, and even on today, when we talk about just in general what it looks like, you'll see a work of grace in the heart of the believer, the work of grace in the heart. And we're going to look at that today, and you'll see it, and hopefully we can spell it out, step it all out, so we'll know. Because I think it's just important that we know that we have the right stuff. I think that's important. I don't want this generic Christianity. I think it's important. The Word of God spells it out, and I think we should know. I believe it's important. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read from 14 through 18. Paul and this great apostle in his great conversion. You see Paul is speaking a lot about what happened to him in this verse, in these verses of scripture. It's almost personal with Paul. It's almost personal with Paul. Verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And rose again. "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for making it so plain that a baby, that the youngest person in here ought to be able to receive a blessing today from the word of God being preached. Thank you for all those that have participated in the service up to this point, the singing, the ushering, the offering. Thank you for the children, Father God. When you said out of the mouth of babes, Father God, we just want to train them up and raise them up that they can give their whole lives to you. Amen. Father, thank you for everything you've done. You've been a good God to us. And we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brand new Christians. Brand new Christians. You know, we think about it. We see somebody with a new outfit on. They got a new outfit on and they looking good. And they say, "You looking brand new." Driving, you know, you go to the dealership and you buy a new car and you somebody say, "You got a brand new car." You don't go to the dealership and they give you one with 800 miles on it. It may be new, it may be the model year, but it's not brand new. That brand new one had 4 or 5 miles on it. When you get in and you can smell that new car smell. You know, some of us have to go to Walmart and buy that cologne for your car, the new car smell. You know. But talking about being brand new. And in chapter 5, verse 17, Paul talks about being brand new. And I'm going to sit here and just stay on verse 17. Let me read it one more time. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ." No. Paul wasn't no Calvinist.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Paul was not, Paul, the gospel was for everybody.
Amen.
Man or woman, Jew or Gentile. Paul was, y'all know I love Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Power of God for them that what? Believe. The Jew and the Gentile. Dave was talking about the two races of people. The Jew and the Gentile, or the saved and the unsaved. Amen. Here we go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something radical has to happen.
Amen.
You know, we got this Christianity today. Well, you know, we just walk the aisle, sit in a chair, join the church, and we think that that's it. Paul says something radical's got to happen.
Amen.
There's got to be something radical going on. I mean, it's working from the inside. And I was reading and studying this, and it was St. Augustine when he received the Holy Spirit, when he was saved. The Word of God says, not the Word of God, but his testimony says that in his younger years he indulged in great sins, and that's far as we gonna go. And that's a great testimony. We indulged in great sin. We don't got to get too personal. But it said, after his conversion, he met a woman who had been a sharer of his great sins. And she approached him seductively, saying, Augustine, it is I. Remember me. And he turned around and said, but it is not I. The old Augustine is dead, and I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, I mean, that's a great testimony.
Amen.
Because some of us are great sinners. All of us in here to save, and we often ride by some of those places where we perform some of those deeds. Deacon Oliver, understand what I'm saying? We ride by C Staples, and we remember going there at 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, after we have done a night of deed of misdeeds. But then we had that work of grace. And that's what we want to talk about today, being brand new. Brand new. I just hope somebody wanna be brand new. Pastor, listen, I wanna be brand new. I'm tired of living like this on the run. On the run, I want to be brand new in Christ. Paul's going to explain to us how. He says in verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man, and that's generic, man, woman, you know, don't start to get carried away with this stuff. Any man or woman. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, and that's the first step. You have to be in Christ. How do we get in Christ? Preacher, I want to be in Christ, but how do we get in Christ? Well, it's not by good deeds.
Amen.
It's not by baptism,
Amen.
Confirmation, church membership. It's not by any of that. You talk to a lot of Christians today, and you'll say, I'm a Christian. You say, well, you know, tell me about your Christianity. Well, they tell you what church they go to. They tell you their pastor's name, and they'll tell you that they've been baptized, and that's not enough.
Amen.
You know, one of the responsibilities I have now as chaplain at the Indian River is when they come in intake and they'll have to give their denomination or their faith, and they'll tell me, well, I'm a Rastafarian. That's the popular one anymore, you know, because they want to grow their hair and look like one of the Seattle Seahawks. Or they'll say, well, I'm Catholic, or I'm a Muslim, or whatever. And then they'll say, I'm a Christian. And I just question them. So how did you become a Christian? And they'll say, well, you know, my mother was a Christian and my father was a Christian. I went to church, and you know, see that's not enough.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you're a Christian like that,
uh-oh,
then that's not enough. And I just want to tell you, that's not enough.
Amen.
Okay, I'm looking for something radical. Pastor, I need something radical. When we talk about Lydia, something radical happened. Okay, we talk about Ruth. Something radical happened, Claire. Something radical happened in Ruth's life. What was that radical thing that happened? A work of grace.
Amen.
work of grace. Paul, the word of God said, Paul spoke to Lydia, and God did what? Open up her heart.
Amen.
Okay, see, you hear, you need your heart open up. You need a heart transplant. When you think about Rahab. What happened with Rahab? Why did Rahab help the spies? Why was Rahab so adamant about the Israelites? Because God had worked in her heart.
Amen.
What about Paul? Paul was in Christ. Paul was on his way to Damascus to destroy Christianity. Paul hated Christianity. He wanted to wipe it out. And then God worked in his heart. A word of grace came over Paul, and Paul turned out to be the one that God used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Philippians, Romans, half of Acts. And most folks say, even though the writer's not named, he wrote Hebrews. God used them greatly. But first God had to deal with them. We talk about the woman at the well. What opened her eyes to cause her to go out and evangelize her whole town? A work of grace in her heart.
Amen.
The woman with the issue of blood. What made her fight through the crowd to get to Jesus? A work of grace in her heart.
Amen.
The thief on the cross. Margaret asked a wonderful question on Wednesday. Why can one thief receive them, the one on the right, and then the one on the left didn't? Work of grace in his heart. Work of grace. And God's grace is working today. It's working today. So when we talk about being in Christ, what do you mean being in Christ? What do I mean when you see a fish? And the fish is what? In the water. You think about a bird. And oftentimes in the spring, you'll see little birds on the ground. Their wing is broke. You know one thing for sure, especially in our neighborhood where you got cats. That bird is in trouble. Why? Because a bird is supposed to be where? In the air. In the air. This is how one expositor said, he explained being in Christ. He said, in Christ can mean several things. One that lives in the sphere of Christ's power. I like that. You're not doing what you want to do anymore. You're living under the government of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that Holy Spirit gonna walk with you. It's gonna be a friend of yours.
Amen.
It's not gonna let you do what you want to do. And I see Christians and I'm like, man, you can do that. You can go there. You can watch that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just sitting here. I said, man. You must got a different Holy Ghost than I do. Because mine don't let me do all that stuff.
Amen.
Okay? One that is united with Christ. And I think about it, being united with Christ. One of the scriptures that Paul used, and I think it was 1 Corinthians 6, he talked about being united with Christ in 1 Corinthians 6, I think 15 to 16. Yeah, he's sharing. Think about this. And Paul was into this. Paul was one with Christ. And that's what it means to be in Christ. To be one with Christ. To be joined with Christ. Well, think about your marriage. I love sitting here and seeing all the married couples in this church. Because you're joined together. You know, one thing that troubled me, and don't no offense, men, if you don't. I'll just keep it real. When I see married men with no wedding band on, it just makes me think. I work out with mine. It don't come off. The other one might come off. You know, my hands all scuffed up. They had me down in training doing all this unarmed self-defense, or they don't call it that in YDS. You know, I don't have to have that class. I'm all beat up, bruised, all up, shield team. I said, I'm the chaplain. Don't matter. You still might be on the shield. You never know. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through all this. They, you know, then you're kind of big, so everybody want to use you. I want to know what it means. I take down a big brother. I know. I gave him the business too. Okay, listen. I wore him out down there. They was happy to see me leave. look at verse 15 and 16, talking about being joined with Christ. We think about the wedding. We think about the vine and the branch. What happened when that branch is disconnected from the vine? Okay. I had the boys go out in the yard because I had a lot of trees. Pick up all the branches because they good to start fires. And we have too many saved folks, too many churchgoers, Christian folks just disconnected. Paul says this about being united. I like this. He said, know ye not, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. God forbid. What? Question mark. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, say he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Think about that. Huh? What's it mean to be in Christ? I have so much information here. What's it mean to be joined? To be in Christ? It means you have a new position. You're no longer outside of the will of God. You're no longer unsaved. You are a new creature. You are in a new position. And how did I get in that position? Or how did you get in that position? By the work of grace in your heart. Amen. By the work of grace in your heart. For by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Through faith. And not in yourself. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. And when you give someone a gift. And if I say, Ray, I'm going to give you a gift. But you got to cut the grass and rake the leaves and shovel the snow. What happens to that gift? It's not a gift. If I just give it to him, I got something coming in the mail for him this week. Holding that. He ain't listening. Okay. He texting. Well, he don't have to text now because everybody in Texas is right here. Just talk to him. Okay, so being in Christ, I have to talk to my kids. You know, I know I do. They're a big part of my life, so I just talk to them. Okay, they listen in a little bit, Jake. To be in Christ is to be justified. It's to be sanctified. How? By faith in Him, and then being in union. And I'm just stuck on that word union because it's one. Okay, it's one. It's something united. You are one with Christ.
Amen.
One with Christ. Let's keep moving. Because I want to talk about this radical change. This radical change. To be in Christ, it's a radical change. Let me tell you something. You can see it. I thought it was interesting because Paul knew those that were in Christ. He identified them. If you look at some of Paul's writings, he identified. Look at Romans 8 and 1. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ. And then he follows it up, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So being in Christ is followed by a behavior.
Amen.
A lifestyle that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that word condemnation means there's no eternal damnation for that person.
Amen.
Okay? So you flip that over. But the person who's not in Christ, there's some problems. There's some things they're going to have to deal with. Paul was so thorough in his teaching this being in Christ. I want to go to Philippians. You know, you don't have to go far to find Paul identifying those because they had a certain look to them. Paul knew them. He could identify them. And in Romans 16, where he's thanking everybody that helped him, started identifying folks that are in Christ. And I think he was singling out folks. In Romans 16 and 7, he said, salute Andronius and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who were in Christ before me. Romans 16:11. This is interesting. When I say the word Narcissus, that was one of Nero's henchmen. He ran one of the areas where Nero ruled, and he had his own place. But Paul, because he was a prisoner, hadn't, and the word of God had spread so thoroughly in that region, Paul had folks in his castle that were saved in Christ. Look what he says in Romans 16:11. He says, "Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in Christ," or in the Lord. When he gets to Philippians 4:21, he says this: "Salute every saint in Christ." What's he saying? It's almost like there's some separation there. "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." 1 Corinthians 1:30. He says this: "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Those four traits that the brother or sister that is in Christ is going to have. They're going to have wisdom. They're going to have wisdom. They're going to have the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. It's good to have it. It's good to have the wisdom of the world, but it's better to have the wisdom of God. And then we see righteousness there. And then sanctification. And see, the things that didn't pass away immediately, and that's the walk of sanctification, things will start dropping off of you. Amen. As you walk with Christ, or as you live in Christ, things will start dropping. No one, I don't have to sit here. "Well, you ought not do this, or you ought not do that here, Pastor." Say, no. Pray that God would work his grace in their heart, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. Okay? Why? Because you be under God's government. Okay? You be under God's authority, and you be under God's government, he's going to clean your life up for you. You don't have to worry about it. You ain't got to tell your friends, look, I don't hang out with you guys no more. I stopped drinking. You know, I stopped smoking. I stopped cussing. I don't hang out with you heathens. Just let God's grace permeate in your life, and he'll do the rest. And he's liable to save a bunch of them. See, a lot of our loved ones and friends won't get saved because we're undercover. Get to that, too. Get to that. Watch this. Keep moving. I know I can. Dave Bryant was teaching me Wednesday night how to run a verse out. Where you learn that at? Dave, we're going to get to that. Look at this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," this is key, "he is," stop right there. Let's not get greedy with this verse. "He is." What's that saying? That's a declaration. He is. Before we go any further, he is. I mean, it starts right now. Okay? There's a sense of an immediate action right there. He is. And listen, everything you have, everything you need, you have at the moment God does that work of grace in your heart. Listen, you don't need to go to, a new believers class. Okay? You know, the evidence of you being saved is not you speaking, and you don't have to do that. Amen. He is right now. Amen. He's a new creature. He is. There's no working out process. There's none of that. None of that's necessary. Amen. You get it all. There's no second work of grace. Okay? He is. Okay? Now we can keep moving because we understand that he is. The moment God does that work of grace in your life, you're a believer. You're a Christian. But the key is that, has God done that work of grace in your life? Has he done that work of grace in your life? When I talk about Ruth, when I talk about Lydia, when I talk about Paul, when I talk about the woman with the issue of blood, when the prodigal son, he's in the pig pen, he's in there standing on the rail, when the Bible says and his consciousness was awoken. The Bible says he came to himself, or he came to his senses. That's the work of grace. And then it takes the work of grace to turn you around. Okay? So, the question I asked, can you relate? When I talk about that. Ruth's testimony. Where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. Where they bury you, I'm going to bury me. Your God should be my God. And your people should be my people. Can you relate to that? That's interesting. Paul said, he is what? A new creature. I think that's interesting. He is a new creature. What is a new creature? What is a new creature? Pastor, help me today. What is a new creature? Look at 2 Peter. You have to turn here if you can. 2 Peter 1:4, because you can't miss this. If you are a new creature, these things have happened to you. And if they haven't happened to you, God is faithful. And he will give you the desires of your heart if you really want to change. Okay? See, the one thief on the cross, he didn't want to change.
Amen.
He wanted to get off the cross to get back to doing what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't thinking about others. He said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and me, and let's get off of this cross and get back to doing what we was doing. I got some unfinished business. The other thief, God had worked grace in his heart. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He had an opportunity to be with the Lord forever. He wasn't turning that down. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. Now, when we talk about this new nature, he said he's a new creature. So if you're a new creature, you got to get a new nature.
Amen.
Okay, you can't be a new creature with the same nature. And this is what happens to a lot of folks. They get saved and they don't get a new nature. And guess what? They go back to doing what they was doing.
Amen.
They're not under the divine authority of God because, you know, they don't have a God. They still got the old nature. Listen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Now, he's giving you the prerequisites of how you get this new nature. You got to want it. You got to seek knowledge. And of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. This is why I talk to Jake, I talk to Dave, both the Daves, all the Sunday school teachers, keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel. And it may be seen like it's falling on deaf ears. They may be texting away and laughing away and joking away. Keep preaching the gospel. Because it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Listen, he says this. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. What are the exceedingly great and precious promises? He said it in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Those are the precious promises. He says that are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. What? That by these you might be partakers, partners of the divine nature. I like that about Peter. Because you know what? The same divine nature that Peter and all the apostles received when God walked with them and they were born again, that's the same nature that the believer gets today. Hasn't changed. It's still divine. Listen, having escaped. You get this nature. When God calls you out of darkness, when he calls you out of darkness and out of the muck and the mire and out of the pig pen of this world, when he calls you out, you have escaped.
Amen.
Okay? You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of folks that just, right now, you just reveling in it. You think it's wonderful. Man, I'm just doing what I want to do. I can't wait to get out of this house with my parents. I'm going to do my thing. Okay? I'm gonna do it. When you out of town, you got a TV, and I don't watch a lot of TV, and I turn it on, and it's like, what is that? Because I hadn't seen BET. We don't get BET. I said, what is that? Uh-huh. Preacher's Daughters? Uh-huh. I'm gonna stir it up. I'm gonna turn it up. I'm like, my goodness. Hadn't seen that. Claire didn't tell me about that. Creatures Kids. I want to watch that. A lot of kids going to watch it. They going to watch it now for sure. Listen, folks. You get saved. You get a new nature. You have escaped. Like escaping from Alcatraz. Imagine you're a prisoner. You're doing a life sentence. And you escape. And the guards just stand there like, that's what it's a picture of. That's what it is a picture of for the believer. We locked up. We in chains. We don't know it. Yeah. We having a good time. We drinking. We partying. We smoking dope. We doing whatever we want to do. Yeah. We having sex with everybody we want to. We just doing our thing. Yeah. And we in prison. And then we receive a work of grace in our heart. And we walk right out of that prison. Amen. And the guards be like, that's how I felt. I'm free. Praise the Lord. How's it go? I'm free. No more chains holding me. My goodness. My goodness. You a new creature. Got some new desires. Got a new attitude. You got some new goals. You got a new director in your life. Amen. You're no longer serving the little G God. You're serving the big G God. Amen. Okay? And you just got it. And you know what? Paul got it. Paul got that. And in Acts, I think 26, I don't have it here in front of me. He was standing before Festus. And Festus said, Paul. The Bible says he said in a loud voice, Paul, much learning has made you mad. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. I want to be mad for Jesus. Amen. I want to be a mad man. If you look at me, like, something different about you. Yeah, that's got to happen. Because I have a new nature. I have a new nature. Listen, Ezekiel 36 and 27. In the Old Testament, the Word of God was still talking about the coming of Christ. He says, and I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. And what's that spirit going to do? Here's how Ezekiel's playing it. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because you're under a new authority. How does that happen? Why? Because old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Old sins, old ways, old habits, old pleasures, old foolish thoughts and language and blasphemy. All that's passed away. Paul said, old things have passed away. And you know, let me tell you something. You would know this better than anybody. You know how the Spirit of God is working in you. And it's got to be working in you. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of God got to be working in you. And he's churning all the time. And he's working all the time. You know what? It's like when they put out a budget. You know, the government put out a budget. Got to cut here, cut here, cut here. And this is a sample of a passing away. Got to make a cut. Turn that off. No more of that. No more of this. And old things are past, and they're dying off. They're dying off. That old nature. Let me. When I read Galatians chapter 5, you'll see how much stuff you still got. Some of this need to go. Because we were in the flesh. Now, some of us, we dealt with that, dealt with that, dealt with that, dealt with that, dealt with, that's how it goes. Keep feasting on the word. You keep asking God, God, clean me up. I ain't there yet. None of us are. There's none righteous. No, not one. Ain't nobody up here. I'm not preaching to you from the position that I got it all together. All you got to do is you come to 2201 Pioneer Circle. Okay? But the old nature, here's the old nature, because it's passing away. Now the works of the flesh are many or manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. You need any explanation? See the director of religious services after church. She explained each one of these words if you have this problem. Witchcraft. You know what witchcraft falls under? I know some of y'all got them Powerball tickets. Somebody hit. I know. Pastor Kimbrough, he said, you know, pray over that money. You don't know where it come from. Listen, works of the flesh. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresy. Envying. Murders. Drunkenness. Reveling. And such like of the which I tell you before, and I've told you also time past, they would do such things, contrary to what the government says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, if they don't inherit the kingdom of God, where are we going? LOF. Paul had an old nature. And, you know, I say it all the time. Y'all know Paul. I mean, you can't read the Bible. I don't know how the Word of Faith people can even teach anything out of what Paul taught. But here's Paul. Here's Paul. He said, it's dung. It's dung. It is doo-doo. Okay? Paul says it in Philippians 3, 4 through 8, he said, though I might have confidence in the flesh. And some of us got nice resumes. Okay? And we on Indeed, you know, we're in job searching. We got to put that resume on there. Here's Paul's. He said, though I might have the confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Remember, Paul said, I was chief sinner. Listen to what he says. And to a Jew, to an Israelite, this would have been top notch. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Not of Israel, Deacon Oliver, of the stock of Israel. Top shelf. Touching the righteousness, of the tribe of Benjamin. In Hebrew, of the Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That was what Paul was doing. Persecuting the church. Uh-huh. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You ain't going to walk up to Paul and find nothing to complain or nothing to accuse him of. He was in the eyes of the world perfect. Perfect. And look what he says. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Somebody need to hear that. I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of what? All things. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. My goodness, Paul. Paul said, I counted all this stuff. Listen, Paul had the right perspective. You know, ain't nobody taking them TVs. You ain't taking them TVs. There won't be no tablets in hell. Okay, you will not be texting. Okay? Paul said, you know, listen, win Christ. How do we win Christ? Prayer. Study. Seeking. Desiring. Wanting to be better. Wanting to be better. Wanting to be stronger. Wanting to be a powerful Christian. See, some of us are satisfied with mediocrity. That just burns me up. Because I'm not the smartest one. But I want to be the best I can be. Amen. I want to be the best I can be. And I'll stumble over all these words, but you can rest assured, y'all's pastor prepares and works hard at this. Okay? And so on, you know, you said that wrong. Listen, I'm doing the best I can. Okay? I didn't call myself to this.
Amen.
God called me to this. I'm just doing the best I can for Jesus.
Amen.
Listen. Now this part here. I thought this was fascinating. Pastor, you think everything fascinating? I am. I do. I think I'm seeing the world. Since I've been saved, I see the world through a whole different set of eyes. It's just changed for me. And here's what Paul says here. And again, these things have to be true. These things have to be true. And because they may not be true in your life, you can make them true. You can say, God, I want what the pastor was talking about. I want 2 Corinthians 5:17 to be true in my life. I want it to be true. You know what? God, hear that. God said, say that again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Here's our word. Don't run by it. This is a huge word. Behold. There's excitement in there. There's a thrill in there. Paul is excited about this. He said, behold, all things are become new. He says, behold. He says, behold. Listen. When you got saved, y'all should even send these eyes when God saved me. She was like, you got to be kidding. I believe she got on the phone call all her family. That fool. You know, Keith just called me and said God has saved him. And I can hear her sister, oh, you know, he ain't no good. Don't believe him. Leave him alone. That's what it means to behold something. Listen, your family, your friends, your coworkers have seen a transformed, brand new life on display. Brand new life on display. You come to work. What's happened to him? What's up with him? He ain't looking brand new because it's eye-opening, head-turning. When Paul got saved, listen, them folks was like, Ananias was like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. He's talking to God. God, listen, ain't no way. I know about him. That man is crazy. He got letters from the government saying he can kill Christians. And God said, listen, I didn't work the work of grace in his heart. Amen. He is mine. He is mine. Listen, this is why unsaved folks, when they see Christians doing crazy stuff, they are alarmed because in an unsaved person, they know that a Christian ought not be doing what I'm doing. Amen. I'm unsaved. You saying you're a Christian, they are alarmed. They say, and they call themselves a Christian. Uh-huh. And he a deacon. He a deacon at the church. And she a trustee at the church. Look at her nasty self. Look at her doing this. Look at her doing that. Still cussing and still smoking and drinking and lying and chasing men. Flip that around for the women. Still doing all that. That's why I don't want to. That's why I never go to church. And that's out there. Because we are not giving the world something to behold. I mean, we are living epistles, and we are read by men. Listen. Yeah. Listen. Are you something to behold? And I think about it. You watch the Grammys, and you watch all these folks, and these folks, they come down the aisleway. They beautiful. They got everything showing. They're showing everything. Got it everything out. Listen. As a Christian, we ought to walk down the runway too. But see, but what we have works from the inside. It works from the inside, and it shows up on the outside in the way we live our lives and the way we carry ourselves among the godless world. We live in a godless world, and listen, let me tell you something. If the world don't see God in us, they'll never see it. Amen. They'll never see it. It's hard for them to hear when they can't see it. We are visual. We are visual people. That's why a lot of churches is getting into dancing. You know how preachers now, they got dance people and they dancing while the preacher preaching, kind of holding people's kids' attention. I think that's what Jake want to do. You know. He said, the kids don't pay no attention to me. I said, well, get some dancers. Let them dance while you're teaching. Jake going to hit me when it's church over. I'm going to leave him alone. pastor and silly church. That's a bad combination. Okay, now listen. We talk about the behold. And all things are become new. Listen. What's he talking about? There's some things got to become new. And I'm gonna wrap this thing up. I got a few things that can become new. We talk about having a new nature. We talk about having a new nature. That's the number one thing. But you got the new nature. Okay? And this is evident. You can't hide the fact that you got a new nature.
Amen.
Okay? You want to see one scripture talking about the lion and the lamb gonna sit together in heaven. Why? Because the lion's gonna have what? A new nature. See, with the old nature, that lion ain't sitting with no lamb. Now, he may be sitting with it, but he thinking lamb chops. He thinking lamb chops. That's what he thinking. But when you get a new nature, listen, you get the fruit of the Spirit comes with that new nature. And in Galatians, we talk about the works of the flesh, but the new nature, here's how it works, but the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Let me tell you something. Listen, God, do a work of grace in my heart. Because I don't love like I should. I'm not as meek as I should be. I'm not as temperate as I should be. I just don't have no joy. I just don't have no peace. God, do a work of grace in my life. We can program folks to death and counsel them to death and program them to death and counsel them to death. You know what? We need Jesus.
Amen.
And I sit there and I'm at training them 3 weeks. They show these videos of these kids acting crazy. Just running their head against the wall, falling all on the floor and stuff. And I'm sitting here like, man, that looked like an evil spirit to me. You know? Oh, no, they just need more medication, more medication. They need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That person needs the Holy. That's the lunatic from the Gadaras peoples.
Amen.
I hope they don't listen to my tapes and my job. I won't be traveling back and forth to Maslin. But people need the Holy Ghost. People need a new nature. You need to, you know, and we pray, you know, my loved one to come to church. Your loved one come to church all day. He didn't come to church for 30 years. It won't mean nothing.
Amen.
He can come to church for 30 years to be a deacon. He can come to church 30 years to be a preacher. Preach for the rest of his life. And do it without a new nature. I just believe the pulpits of America is full of preachers with the old natures.
Amen.
Yeah, there's some things you just... I'm just beside myself when I see some of the things that's happened.
Uh-huh.
So you get the new nature. Here's something else you need new. This one is interesting because it hit me on Wednesday night when I was with the Wednesday night Bible study. The Bible becomes new. The Word of God becomes new to the person with the new nature. You know, we was talking about Jonah on Wednesday. And this is what happens to the man or woman of God with the new nature, because the Word of God, the Scriptures just come alive. The Scriptures just come alive to the person with, you just can't stay away. You have to open up the Scriptures on a regular basis because it has come alive. And the Word of God now has feet that chase after you. You ain't having the Word of God chase after you. You ain't having the Word of God has hands now. And it just holds you. It holds you. It has eyes. The Word of God has eyes. The Word of God I read has eyes. It watches me. I just feel that way. I feel like the Word of God is watching me. Watching what I do. Watching what I say. The Word of God has come alive. Has a heart. Has a heart. It misses you. And I ain't heard from brother in so long. He ain't opened up the Scriptures. You know? Time with you. There's a song I listen to all the time. It's not time with you. Has the Word of God come alive? We were studying on Wednesday night in Jonah chapter 1. And Dave just read the Scripture. He was continuing to teach him, but I was just stuck. I was just stuck because it just stopped me in my tracks. Jonah 1 and 9. I wrote it down here. Jonah 1 and 9. It says, and again, we know the story of Jonah. He's on the boat. He's gone down to Tarsus. And now he's gone down in the belly of the ship. And he's sound asleep. And God has sent a wind. It's the Word of God said, God sent a wind. And Jonah was fast asleep. And all the sailors on the boat start praying to their gods, little g. Little g. I'm going there now. I'm going there, Dave. Okay. And they start praying to their gods, little g, in verse 5. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his god and cast forth the wares and that the ware in the ship unto the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay fast asleep. So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, old sleeper?" Ain't that something? When the world calls a man or woman of God a sleeper. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now I'm just going to move on to verse number 9, because this is the one that really just hit me with like a ton of bricks. It just came alive to me. And they asked him, "Who art thou?" And Jonah, I can see him standing up. And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew." Let me tell you something. The time this was written, that being a Hebrew meant something. It had some juice. These sailors knew. He said he was a Hebrew. They knew. They thought about the Red Sea, the part of the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho. All that would have came to their mind. They're like, whoa. He said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord." I fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, that's a reverence. You know, that's what they used to call preachers, reverence. Amen. That's where the word comes from, reverence. That's why, you know, when I hear them say, you know, the Reverend Al Sharpton, it throws me off.
Uh-huh.
Drop the Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, because you're not standing for God about a lot of
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
Stop it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's for Cindy. That's her favorite movie. Let it go. Because a reverend fears the Lord. When he said, "I fear the Lord," he basically said, "I am an apostle. I am a prophet. I fear the Lord." How? Why did Jonah fear the Lord? Because God had spoke to Jonah, and him being a prophet, and the fact that he wasn't dead, everything Jonah said that God told him to say had come true. He said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." What are you saying? Where that wind coming from? The God of this wind, the God of this sea, he said, "which have made the sea and the dry land." Jonah. Look at verse 14. That's a great testimony. That's a great testimony. Because these, you know, Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Look at verse 14. Compared with verse 5. These mariners were changed. They were changed by the testimony of Jonah and the power of God's word. Listen, he says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord," all caps, "and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." See the change. But what I want you to really see is how the word of God just, for me, somebody said, "Well, Pastor, you're just emotional." The word of God comes alive. It comes alive for me. Because I have that new nature. And when you have that new nature, when the God has worked in your life, you have a work of grace in your life, you will know, because the word of God will come alive to you. Then you'll sing a new song. You will sing a new song. Word of God says in Revelations 5:9, they sung a new song. And people, God has worked his grace in your life, you're going to sing a new song. You're going to want to be in the choir. You're going to run up there, be like David, out of the muck and the mire and into the Lord's choir. You're going to want to come. You're going to want to come out. I got something to sing about. I have something to sing about, because I know what God has done for me. He's given me life. I've escaped the corruption of the world. I've walked out of the prison of the world.
Amen.
How dare we not want to give God glory? Revelations 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, God, by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." Psalms 40:3. and he had put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, God put a new song in my heart. When God saved me, I had a collection. I had a collection of stuff that I don't even like to talk about. Wasn't all good. I had a couple of Michael Jacksons in there, a lot of stuff. And I took all that to the pawn shop. Now Dave Dunleavy said he took his and just threw it out and burned it. That's on him. I was getting something for it. But honestly, see, God's gonna put a new song in your heart. And when the old things are passed away, that old music and it's in us now. Now when Bayou City was out there running, we walk around Bayou City the old songs came up and they were in you. But God has put a new song in the heart of the man or woman of God. And we want to hear music that's gonna lift up Jesus. We want to hear music that's gonna glorify Jesus. We want to hear those songs. Those songs minister to us. Those songs strengthen us. And it's because of that we he gives us that new song. And I have the question, okay, you got the Bible has a new meaning, you got a new song. Do you have a new appreciation for his work? I thought that was interesting. A new appreciation for his work. Remember when you weren't saved? You know what Easter meant to us? Resurrection. Easter jelly beans. Easter bunny. That's what it meant. We had no appreciation for what God had done on Calvary's cross. We had no appreciation for his death, burial, and resurrection. We had no appreciation. We could care less. We could care less that the man stepped out of heaven to die for the sins of the world. Didn't mean anything to us. We now have a new appreciation for Calvary. Amen. For the blood. When you think about it, for being saved, we have a new appreciation. Back then, we was going to the Easter dance. We wanted to know where the Easter dance was at. Tell them not about my business today. Claire be telling me this stuff. But it's true. We didn't care about Jesus. Easter, got some new shoes. That was what it was about. Man, it's Easter time. Get some new shoes. A new outfit. Kids come in all dressed up. Everybody you hug smell like a cigarette factory. On Easter. Because that's, you come to church on Easter. That's one of the only times you came on Easter. Christmas. They don't always come on Mother's Day anymore, They don't have to come. Back then they came on Mother's Day because, you wouldn't come to church on Mother's Day. You didn't get no new car. See, Sylvia buy you a new car. You don't have to come to church on Mother's Day. Sylvia gonna get me. I'm gonna have to run out of here. Listen, here's my favorite. You see the world through a different set of eyes. You live in a whole new world. When you receive the Spirit of God, you live in a whole new world. I thought it was so, and I laugh at this stuff. Probably ain't funny to a lot of people. But the police chief of Youngstown put out a call. I got an email and he put it in the newspaper. He called all the pastors. I see that. He's calling all the clergy, especially the brothers, to help with the crime. Now, because I spiritualize everything, I said, well, you done took the Bible out of the courthouse. You done took the Ten Commandments down. You can't pray in school. You can't pray at a high school football game. You can't have a Bible study. And now you want to call the pastor? What are we going to do? They ain't going to do nothing. And I said, I'm just saying, what are you calling us for now? Now you go to the schools, they got pictures of guns on the doors. Back in the day, we had prayer. It came right through the sound system. Is that how it was in Cleveland, Roy? And before the school started, they prayed. Now you can't even wear a shirt with John 3:16 on it, but you can come in there with guns and roses and pistols and everything else. And they call the preachers. And you know what, honestly, and I say that, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. See, these young, this young generation, they need the Lord. They need a work of grace in their lives. And until that happens, you know what? They're just going to live it out. And we're going to keep burying them. And they're going to keep shooting. They're going to keep killing. And they're going to keep robbing. They're going to keep raping. They're going to keep selling drugs. They're going to do all that because that's what sin is. Sin only grows. Amen. It only grows. And we have so many opportunities now to do evil. It's just out of control. So you call the preachers. Okay. Ain't nothing happening. You can get all them preachers. You can have your march on Washington and march. You know what? They get killed while that's happening. Mm-hmm. Ferguson and all that. That's all over. They still, brothers are still shooting brothers. Yeah. That's God. Listen. I'll close. I know I ramble and talk. You live in a new world. Do you have a new appreciation for the Christ and his work? That's important. Has God given you a new song? Or when you get in your car and you turn on, boom, F you. And you singing Amazing Grace, and I'm on my way to heaven and glory, hallelujah. And then you get in your car, as soon as you get out of church, you turn on your music and it's cussing everybody out. And I'll be at the gas station and the young people ride up and just cuss me out. And they ain't shaved. They got that stuff blasted. And we turn ours down. Don't want to offend nobody. Does the Bible come alive? Does the Bible come alive? I read this and I'm going to close. I said that a couple times. I said it cost Jesus, or it cost God nothing to create the trees and the birds and the animals in the mountains. It didn't cost him nothing. But to convert rebellious sinners like myself, it cost him his only begotten son. By crucifixion. Imagine that. By crucifixion. We need to stop praying for our loved ones to come to church.
Amen.
We need to pray that God would do a work of grace in their hearts.
Amen.
So when we pray, and Dave Bryan and all the leadership, that when we get up here to pray, let's keep that in our prayers, that God would do a work of grace in the hearts of those that don't know him. Okay, because you know we're being bamboozled and we're being tricked, and I believe it's one of the most evil tricks that Satan can do, is to let everybody believe that they're all right and everybody's going to end up in heaven no matter how they live. It's important that we know the truth. And I would sit here, and I said it before and I'll say it again. I believe there's folks in hell. You read the scriptures in Luke 16. It says in the rich man, when he's in hell, he prayed to God that he would send Lazarus. He said, send Lazarus to my family and tell them that this place is real. Tell them that them preachers tricked us. Okay? We're not in a better place. Mm-hmm. We're not dancing with the angels. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care how your worst enemy, you don't want to see him come to hell. And I feel that tug sometimes. Preach the truth, Pastor. Don't let people think that they can live any way they want to.
Amen. Amen.
And not have the Spirit of God working in them and go to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And all of us in here, and I sit here and I hold no bones, all of us in here, whether we want to admit it or not, we know some folks that's in hell. We know. So, Pastor, how you can't judge? Only God can judge. No, we know in our heart of hearts, and that ought to drive us to be better. This is of the glory and the grace of God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God and their patience. But I pray right now, Father God, if there's someone here or several of us here, I said it in a church, Father God, and went through the motions, and you hadn't done a work of grace in my heart, and I know if I'm going to die in that state, I'd have been in a world of trouble. But you did a work of grace in my heart, and you changed me. I pray right now, Father God, there may be someone here today that's not changed, that hasn't had that, and just got it sort of in cruise control. Touch them, Father God, with your mighty hand of grace. Deliver someone, Father God. Touch a heart. Touch these young people, Father God. Let them know, Father God, it's a mean and cruel world. Give them interest in the things of God. Give them an appreciation for all that God has done. And then give them a new song, Father God. And make the word of God come alive in their hearts. Father, thank you for everything. You're good and wonderful. You've been so good to all of us, Father God. And we can only say thank you. We can only say thank you. And for those that know you, Father God, we really appreciate all that you've done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.